as the chief prosecutor, you couldn't talk to him personally. You couldn't go to his cell or anything. You saw him in the courtroom, obviously, and you were as close to him as the table next to you, I guess.
True.
How would you have described him?
Calm. Didn't seem to show a lot of emotion. Never made any outburst. I'd never heard him speak. He never indicated or signaled to me in any way or anything like that.
Hart's attorney was Garvin Isaac.
Yes.
Represented Hart at the trial. He always believed that Hart was innocent.
Right. And to this day, there's a book out. You may have seen it. It's about courthouses in Oklahoma. I guess it came out within the last few months. And in that, the people who put the book together have taken pictures of all the courthouses, and they try to have some story about events at the courthouse. And one of those is, of course, the Mays County Courthouse. Garvin's picture is in there, and he expresses he's convinced that Gene Hart was not guilty. And, of course, I'm saying, well, I still believe that he was guilty. And, you know, that's where things end sometime.
But the jury acquitted Hart. Talk about that, and talk about when you heard the decision.
The emotion of the trial was set by the photograph of those little girls. And, of course, we were introducing those to the jury. But when I first saw those and met those folks, you know, thinking about little children, we're talking about small kids.
8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, there might have been a 7-year-old. I thought one of them might have been 7.
Yes.
She was the youngest, and I think that was Sherry Farmer's, Beau Farmer's daughter. I think it was Lori. Anyway, bless her heart, I know after this was all over with, after the trial and the whole thing, Dr. Farmer and his wife invited my wife and I to their home for dinner. We went, and in the course of being there, she showed us a little room in the house where she had left it the same way. You know, and I thought, gosh, a parent has to go through this pain, has to go through all this. And I wished that there had been a different outcome in the sense that I believed so strongly that he was guilty. And I still do. Nothing has changed that. Now, since the trial, there's been efforts. And I'll give an example of what I mean. After I was out of that office, somebody decided to do a DNA on some slides that had been made from these little girls. In the course of doing this, and this was somewhat early in the use of DNA, because it wasn't in use at the time of that trial, people wanted to go back and get the exemplars from the little girls and the slides that had been made and see if that would either exonerate totally or show otherwise about the outcome of this trial. They called me. This is after I left that office and was in private practice in this building. I remember talking to them on the phone. I said, well, that'll be interesting to see what happens. I've never quite understood this because I haven't worked with DNA that much. They said that there was a lot of damage done over the passage of time, the storage of the exemplars. They still worked with them. They want so many points of identification. FBI has a standard, like 9 points. If you can get 9, that's an ID. That number is my number, not the FBI, but I'm saying that's how they try to find these comparisons. Well, with DNA, it's my understanding, too, that there's so many blocks that you try to get consistent. The number 13 sticks in my mind for some reason. So the report came back after some time and said they could get like 11 of these to compare, that it was Gene Hart's. But since they can't get the number they need, it's inconclusive. Time goes by, somebody decides to try again, and within the last 2 or 3 years, there's been another try, I think, and with that, there's even more damage to the materials just over time. But if I'm correct, and if I'm not correct, and have a misunderstanding that regardless of how many points there, and so on, everything was tending to be consistent with the DNA with me and Gene Hart, as to what I understood. Again, I'm not a scientist, and I probably didn't understand correctly, but it's inconclusive. There's nothing that came out of it. I got an email last week from this guy up in Kansas City. He's wanting to talk with me, which I don't think I'll be available. He and his partner want to go to the site of the crimes and see if they can't bring this thing to a halt. They go and try to see if there's ghosts in a place. I thought I would write him back and say, forget it. No, I can't help you. But people are curious about it. People are intrigued by it, I guess. One of those mysteries of life. Will we ever know? I feel I know. I don't think I can convince people otherwise who believe the other way. I'm sure that they couldn't convince me.